After a few weeks break, or a couple of weeks, as we observe the Lord's Supper, and last Sunday and the first Sunday of this new year, we return to our consideration of 1 Peter. I'm going to consider verses 15 to 17 of the second chapter this morning, but I'm going to read the first 17 chapters. 17 chapters, we'll be here a while. The first 17 verses of the second chapter as our scripture reading for this time. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 17. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Oh my God, I bless your hearing of his word, even in the small portion I just read. In light of the verses that we have reached in this second chapter of Peter's first Holy Spirit-inspired letter to the strange believers scattered throughout the pagan Roman world, which is not much different than today, because where are true believers today? Scattered among the unbelieving pagan nations of the world. Because there is no nation in the world today that unashamedly confesses that Christ Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, except for true believers. And that is why you understand, if you confess Christ, why Psalm 2 begins with the question, why do the nations rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing, who think that serving fallen men is preferable to confessing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everyone serves something. They even serve themselves. But I want to begin considering the verses we have reached in this second chapter by referring to three historical events. And these three historical events all use the same word. But the attitude towards one of them, especially in this country, is radically different than the other two. Even in the majority of churches, whether they preach the biblical gospel or not. But in light of the verses we have reached, which follow the verses I ended at 3 weeks ago, I question whether it is biblically justifiable to look upon one of these three in a different light from the other two. The challenge for you is going to be whether you'll be Berean to determine if what I say based on the verses we have reached is a right dividing of these verses and application of them. Now, what three historical events am I referring to? And it would not surprise me that you will figure out what the third one is even before I mention it in light of the first two. Well, the first is the French Revolution. Probably all heard of the French Revolution. Now, it would not surprise me that many look upon this as negative due to the amount of blood that was spilt. The defining image of the French Revolution would probably be the guillotine. The second that I want to mention that also has this same word in it is the Russian Revolution. And again, it would not surprise me, at least in circles not influenced by the false teaching of Marx, that this revolution is also seen as a negative thing in the light of the number of lives that have been lost due to it over the last 100 years. What about the third revolution I'm going to mention? For I do not think it gets the same amount of negative or bad press that these two revolutions that I have mentioned have received. Now, what revolution am I referring to? The American Revolution. Now, I don't deny that God, in His sovereignty, ordained the establishment of this country in 1776, just as He ordained the establishment of atheistic France and Russia through the first two revolutions that I mentioned. But the challenge from the standpoint of the Scripture, especially the verses we've reached, is, was there biblical justification for armed revolution against the King of England in the 1700s? Because I'll ask you, was King George III demanding that the colonists do something God forbids or not do something that God commanded? Based on my understanding of the event. Because what annoyed the colonists? What annoyed the colonists? Taxes. Yeah. What annoyed the colonists? Taxes. And what event testifying to this is well known throughout the world today? The Boston Tea Party. Where tea not owned by men dressed up as Indians was tossed into the Boston Harbor. Now, when you destroy something not owned by you, what is that called? Vandalism and theft. Thou shalt not steal. But rather than being upset at what they saw as excessive taxation, and they don't live today, rather than being upset at what they saw as excessive taxation, what should those who profess to be Christian have been more concerned about? Doing the will of God. That by well-doing, they would testify to being the servants of a different king. Not supporting tax revolt. Verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And what is the will of God for well-doing with respect to governments? Verse 14, submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Did paying a tax on tea require the colonists to do something forbidden believers or forbid them from doing something they were supposed to do? No. Believers serve and follow a different king, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, I'm not disputing the fact that this is a nation that we are to follow verse 14 with, but the challenge is in many books, it's given the idea that the French Revolution,
Russian Revolution, that American Revolution, wow, that's just... I ask you, in light of what the Scriptures teach, because what did Jesus teach His disciples in Matthew 17 with respect to paying taxes? And before I read the verses, remember what this tribute money collected in Israel would be used for. It would be used for the support of the religious authorities who would unjustly try Jesus. And what was the denarius that these religious authorities tried to use to trap Jesus with used for? That was used to support the pagan Roman authorities that these religious authorities would turn Jesus over to be crucified. Were these a wicked misuse of the monies collected? Absolutely. No argument there. They were misusing the purpose for human government, as Peter shows in verse 14, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for praise of them that do well. They should have been praising Jesus, not seeking ways to crucify him. But Jesus nowhere teaches tax revolts because of the misuse of taxes. He teaches the exact opposite. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, or went before him, in the sense he knew already what he was going to ask, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto them, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee, lest we offend. Now, what is a way that believers could offend those collecting taxes? Revolting against paying them. We need to realize this. And do I enjoy, how many of us here enjoy paying taxes? Well, that's just the first thing on our list. We love it. And when we see the taxes go up, we naturally grumble because we can see them being abused. But as long as unregenerate men are in positions of authority, believers are going to be confronted with the abuse and the misuse of tax revenues. It was true when Jesus walked on the earth. It was true when Peter wrote this letter. It was true in the 1700s. And dear brethren, it's true today. But as long as you are not being forbidden to do something God commands or commanded to do something God forbids, what should you desire in the midst of the abuse of this power? For so, verse 15 again, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Show by what you are doing that you are more concerned in doing those things that show you are a servant of a different king, the king who was willing to suffer for you, as those in power misused the resources they had gained through taxation and tribute to crucify. You are free, believer. But what is your freedom to be used for? Verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. You are free in Christ, believer. But you are not to use that freedom to harbor malicious thoughts and engage in unloving actions towards others, including those in governments. And friends, the last thing any of us should be surprised at, if we believe in the truth of the total depravity of man, the radical depravity of man, is that unregenerate men in positions of authority will misuse those positions. I mean, think of King Nebuchadnezzar, did he misuse his position? Yes, he did. What did he do? He built that big statue and then he expected everybody to bow down to it or they'd be cast into the flames. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They said, no. We're not to bow down to idols and serve idols. The believers in the first century did not suffer the persecutions they did because they supported or fomented tax revolt, but because they would not bow to the religious idolatry that was rampant in the first century. One difference. Caesar is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord, and they were willing to suffer. And don't forget, in addition to the abuse of power and taxes or tribute money collected as seen in the crucifixion of Christ, think of it from this perspective. What would some of the tax monies raised have been used for in first century Rome? What would some of those tax monies have been used for? Pay the salaries of the Roman soldiers who would guard and even execute Christians. To pay for the lions that would be used by the pagan Roman emperors in the Colosseum to dismember believers who would not confess. Now, am I saying that it would have been wrong for any believer to indicate that this was a misuse of tax revenue and the temporary power of those misusing it and how they were displaying it by what they were using it for? Absolutely not. Remember, Daniel had no problem doing what? Warning King Nebuchadnezzar. He had no problem telling Darius that he had done Darius and his authority, no dishonor to him by not obeying his wicked command. Believer, you have one sword to use in this wicked world. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John the Baptist lost his head. Why? Because he was willing to warn King Herod of his wickedness. It cost him his head. Paul warned Felix of the judgment to come. But nowhere in the pages of the New Testament do you see any support for Christians being told that you can use your liberty in Christ to take up arms against those in temporary political power because of their abuse of that power. Now, does this mean that you cannot petition those in power to defund demonic organizations like Planned Parenthood and praise the Lord when it appears it may take place? Absolutely not. But until the Lord returns, all governments, of whatever form they take, are going to use the taxes they collect in ways they would not be using them if they were bowing their knees to King Jesus. And so what should we manifest before them? That we're bowing our knees to King Jesus. Paying taxes, dear brethren, are a reminder that you live in a fallen world and that you should be looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. But while you do so, what are you to seek to do? Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, honor all men. The word translated honor is the one used with reference to honor thy father and mother, which as Paul teaches about is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In the sense of understanding that there is an authority structure. And you accept that, that's a way to know blessing. When you don't give honor to whom honor is due, you can easily be misled by those fomenting insurrection and revolt. And, but what was the counsel of Solomon to his son? In Proverbs 24, verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." You can literally translate that, if I'm correct, those given to insurrection, those given to revolution. Verse 22 of Proverbs 24, "For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" And what do you repeatedly see recorded in the Old Testament to those who thought they had the right to rise up against wicked rulers and kill them? What do you see? They were executed by the one who replaced the one they killed. One of the ways you can honor all men, especially those in authority, is as you have opportunity, speak the truth in love to them. Warn them with the sword of the Spirit of the folly of their misuse and abuse of tax revenues that show they are not listening to King Jesus. Tremble and pray for every elected official you know of who votes for ungodly legislation and the tax monies to support such legislation, because they will give an account. They will give an accounting before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the great day of judgment that is yet ahead of us. For it's so easy to get annoyed at paying taxes. I mean, that's how many enjoy paying taxes. I mean, I think it's one of the humorous things on the Massachusetts tax form when you fill it out. Well, I don't know if it's true. I haven't done the paper form in a while. But as you go through on the internet, you can fill it out, and then one of the last pages that comes up on the computer screen is, "Do you want to pay the higher rate up?" Is this a joke? I mean, yeah, I just love paying taxes. I'll pay another half or whatever percent. I mean, it's just amazing. It's easy to get annoyed at paying taxes, brethren. Who doesn't? But to have the compassion, to have the courage, like John the Baptist and Paul, to warn wicked rulers of their wicked policies and practices when in their presence, how many are asking for such courage? Are we? How many invited to take part in the inauguration of President Trump, should he and any one of us make it to Inauguration Day? How many will display such compassionate courage towards his soul? But not only honor all men, but love the brotherhood. Love the fellowship of the saints. And how do you show that love? 2 John 1:6, "And this is love, that ye walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." You should show love to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ by showing them that you seek to walk according to the teachings of your Lord and Savior. And supporting tax revolt and armed insurrection against those in power is not a way to show you love either your brothers and sisters in Christ or your brothers and sister in Adam, who need Christ. Display the thing that Peter lists next: fear God. As long as those in power are not commanding you to do something God forbids, or forbidding you from doing something God commands, what is tax revolt and armed insurrection against those in power displaying? A lack of the fear of God. For who has given every political leader throughout time their temporary power and temporary position? The Lord you confess and serve. Does this mean that they use their temporary power and position in light of this truth? You know they don't. The very fact that so many of them govern and judge the way they do show you that there is no fear of God before their eyes. But what are you to display, believer? Fear God. How? By doing what His Word teaches. Submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. As I said, this does not mean you ignore their misuse of power. No. When Paul was about to be unjustly scourged, what did he do? He used the truth of his Roman citizenship to prevent it. What did Jesus do? He willingly submitted to the abuse of political power against him by Pilate. But what did Jesus do? He warned. He warned Pilate. You would have no power at all against me unless it was given to thee from above. But those who handed me over to you are guilty of a greater sin. Oh, if you give me into their wishes, you're guilty of sin, Pilate. He didn't cower before him. He warned him. You give in to the will of the majority, you will be guilty of sin as well, and you will regret the day you ever coveted political office. How many? How many who coveted political power and position have passed from this world? Notice next in this list, honor the king. Realize the fact that they have their temporary power and position only because the Lord has ordained them to have it for the ever short time they have it. Now, if they abuse that power, does their abuse of power give you the right to rise up against them? No. But you can suffer for righteousness' sake. As you tell them the truth in love, even as John did when before King Herod, he warned him, even as Jesus did before Pilate, and even as Paul did before Festus. I mean, what a blessing it would be should that inauguration day come in such a short time. What a blessing it would be to hear someone say to President Trump, if he in this country make it to inauguration day, someone who was invited to speak. Dear President, I want to honor you and the King I serve. Remember, the day is coming when you will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even as I will, and give an accounting for every decision and every action that you will take while in office. May God give you the wisdom and faith to live out each day of your presidency, however many King Jesus is pleased to give you in light of this truth. That's what the President needs to hear on Inauguration Day, but I doubt very much that he will hear that. That's showing concern for President Trump. Such words would show that not only is the new president being honored, but the king before whom President Trump, as well as all of us, will stand with the honor. God, give us the grace. God, give us the wisdom to show by our words and actions that there is only one leader worthy of all our praise, all our honor, all our worship, and all our obedience. To Him alone it is due, the one before whom every knee will bow. Are you honoring King Jesus today by willingly bowing your knees to Him and no one else? Then you will be a blessing to anyone in temporary power and position. Are you a blessing to them? Who are you bowing your knees to? Oh Lord, your word is so clear as to how we are to live in this world. We're to live for no one but King Jesus. Give us the grace and the guidance and the desire and the wisdom and the love. Not only for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but for our fellow brothers and sisters in Adam, that they would see in us that we serve a different king. Help us to show that even by our being together today. In Jesus' name.